Blog Talk Radio.
Well, hi everybody, this is Larry Jacobs, and happy Valentine's Day. I just realized that. This is Education Talk Radio. And my wife and I were going to go out to lunch today, but me and my little baby doll will have to stay home because it's still snowing. Winter Storm Pax is just, I think, finally finished. And in the middle of over a foot of snow, it decided to rain, which made the snow really, really even more enjoyable in the middle of the night. And so my plow guy's going to come back again. But here in Maine, in the middle of Winter Storm Pax, we survived. And I hope everybody did okay down there. And I appreciate all the states from Maine down to literally South Carolina. Thank you for closing the schools in my honor this week while I suffered from the flu. And I'm trying to get better, but I appreciate you doing that. And that just shows everybody how important Education Talk Radio is, which I know impresses our guest today, Lisa Schmucke from EdWeb. And she's going to be on in just a second with her guest. And I'm looking forward to this. Karen Colias, I'm going to get that pronunciation straight, from Knowledge Without Borders. And they'll be on in just a second. I just want to make sure everybody knows we're going to archive the show at education-talkradio.org and tweet it out at EduTalkRadio. If you aren't following us, please do follow us. We appreciate it, and it gets the word out, et cetera, et cetera. And we'll see how good we do today. I know Lisa got slammed in Jersey, and we'll find out where Karen is from. Good morning, ladies. Happy Valentine's Day.
Good morning, hi, Larry.
Hi, Karen.
Hi, Lisa. Great to all be here.
Karen, will you be my Valentine?
Of course.
Thank you. And, you know, there was an actress named Karen Valentine. I just realized that as I said it.
That's right. That's not me, though.
Yeah. Oh, well, I tried here anyway. Good morning, Lisa. Will you be my Valentine?
Oh, yeah. You know, it's Valentine's Day. That'd be great, Larry.
Yeah, and I hope you noted that they closed all the schools because I had the flu and couldn't do the radio shows the other day.
I mean, I tell you, everybody on the East Coast really got slammed in the past couple of days. So, but I'm in New York City right now, actually, and I know I'm supposed to be on a landline, but I'm on a cell phone. But
nice,
it's a beautiful, beautiful
it.
Day. And I'm actually looking right out over the reconstruction of the World Trade Center site.
Nice. That's good to hear about. So. And where are you, Karen? Then we're going to talk about what you do and all that sort of thing. But where are you today?
Well, Larry, I'm in Princeton, New Jersey right now. But soon I'll be on my way to Peru, Lima, Peru, right after I finish talking with you.
That's a little poem. You'll go to Peru when I finish with you. I'll go to Peru.
On Valentine's Day.
Wow, where for a vacation, I hope, or for work, or what? This is interesting.
Well, actually, I have a project down there, and I'm going to visit the sites and see how things are going.
Well, that's fantastic and fly safe, and I'm glad you're leaving today because yesterday would have been a horror show, so I'm glad you're
flying. Oh, I know.
Okay.
I'm very lucky, and I'm going to summer weather because, of course, they're below the equator.
Oh, that's right. Some people go to Florida, but I'll tell you, this jet set you bring to me, Lisa Schmucke, I'll tell you, is absolutely unbelievable. I can put up with
well,
Florida.
That's the world today, global.
Yeah.
And
yeah,
you're up
here
in Maine, so we can be anywhere and connect.
We don't know there is a
that's
world. Up here, we don't know there is a world.
That's the connected educator movement.
That's
you got
right.
That right, exactly. And now let's position today's show here. First, I'll start with Lisa, who's always with me, but I just want people, just tell people what edweb.net is.
Well, we're a professional social and learning network for everybody involved in education. So we help educators and educational institutions create online learning communities to connect with each other. But also we do a lot of work with the industry, associations, and education companies. And EdWeb is just a great place for them to host communities and webinars and provide support to educators who need it so much. And our programs are free, and we just find that everybody – appreciates that ability to connect anytime, anywhere, with the kinds of tools that are available now. It's really quite something.
It's really great, and the companies you work with, and as you know, I know a lot of them, and I know you.
I know you do.
A lot of them are on my show, and they're good friends of mine. I mean, I just think it's wonderful. We had a Smart Brief show scheduled the other day, but we had to cancel that Of course, I'm like stinky flu, so we're going to do that.
Yeah,
on
we're working with Smart Grief, and we're also working with Big Deal Media as well to do some kind of extended reach. I mean, you know, Larry, that we've worked with MCH for a long time, MCH Strategic Data, and they have a national K-12 database, and we could not do what we do without, you know, their help in publicizing our programs and the work that we do to teachers. But we now are partnering with Smart Brief and Big Deal Media, and they have an extensive reach as well. And so it's nice to just grow partnerships to help teachers. That's really what we're trying to do.
And we'll talk about it later, but I don't know. I never heard of Big Deal Media, which I'm embarrassed to say, so perhaps we can talk about that one of these days.
Well, that's a show. So let's talk
okay.
about that, yeah.
Absolutely. I'm looking forward to that. I don't know who they are, and I can't live with that. I have to know who
I'm. No, right.
Is.
No. They're very important. They've been in the industry for a very long time. Marilyn Schutz, she's a publisher and a very good friend. So we'll do something with her.
Well, just imagine when they get the Education Talk Radio bump, how big they'll be. Right?
You haven't arrived until you've been on Education
yeah.
Talk Radio.
Yeah, exactly. And okay, now Karen. Okay, by the way, how do you pronounce your last? Is it Kola? I want to get the right syllable correct. How do you pronounce your last name?
It's Collius.
Collius. Okay, Karen Collius is the founder and CEO, I believe. Yeah, founder and CEO. Am I right? Of Knowledge Without Borders, and you probably know her other website, Knowledge Without Barnes and Noble.
Yeah, but I just closed that one down.
Oh my God. And I've been waiting all week to do that joke. I thought that joke would be pretty funny, but that joke really stunk. Okay, Knowledge Without Borders. And if you go over to Knowledge Without Borders, by the way, I love that name. Okay, knowledgewithoutborders.org. Talk to me about what that is, first of all, and how
well,
you start something like this.
Yeah, well, you know what it is? It's kind of a way to explore creativity and innovation around the world and apply these new learnings to education. Because, as you know, we talk about education and creativity all the time. Our president, governors of states say, you know, the new workforce of the 21st century needs creativity and innovation. But sometimes you just don't see that translated into the classroom, even though the standards are enshrined with creativity and innovation.
That's
so Knowledge Without Borders kind of allows me to go talk to people around the world, learn about what they're doing, and try to apply, break down the borders, so to speak, what I learned from them to education.
And I want to say this the right way. Where did you come from? Well, that's a stupid way to say it. But what were you before this? Because I think this is interesting, because a lot of teachers probably would think of these things, that they don't know how to even begin the various things they want to do. Okay, so what's your background? Where did you spring from?
Well, you know what? I'm all about breaking down borders, and that's where I sprung from. I originally started out as an academic. I have a PhD from Columbia University, and I did work internationally looking at actually education in Russia. And I realized that I didn't want to stay in that silo, that what I had learned I could apply to other things. So my journey has been very very interesting. I've been lucky enough to be work at the Department of State in the International mm-hmm. Affairs, and most recently I was the Deputy Director of the Smithsonian Science Center in Washington, D.C., working in STEM education. So I do educational consulting. I've been a teacher. I've been a professor. You know, I've done it all.
Lisa, how do you find these people? I could search for 3 million years and not find these people. You know.
Well, no, Larry, it's where did I find Lisa? Because when we're talking about creativity and innovation, I mean, EdWeb really caught my eye.
Oh, Karen, that's so nice. Well, we've been connected with...
I would agree with that.
The thing is, the education industry is amazing. And, you know, everybody is so concerned with... helping teachers and students and to apply all these things that Karen's talking about. And so it's just quite something how one person introduces you to somebody else. And George DeBakey, who I think you know, Larry, introduced Karen and I. And George is a wonderful person who's helped us make some connections. You know, it just so happens that Karen and I work together in the same town, being in Princeton. So that's a nice coincidence. But, you know, we can meet people from all over the world. So, and Karen is now working with us as a senior advisor for education initiatives. So my connections are more in the education industry, and Karen has been working with the state of Delaware and doing a number of projects that really look very deeply at what educators need to be able to have the professional development to teach to 21st century learning standards and Common Core standards. So she's going to help us try to align the work that we're doing more closely to what the schools, states, and districts really need.
And this is a good way to segue to this, because I know we want to talk about helping pre-service teachers connect with the real world, okay? Mm-hmm. And sometimes I feel, okay, that the colleges, the teacher education colleges, aren't really connecting their students with the real world, okay?
That's a really good point.
So when you work with school districts and all that sort of thing in colleges, it's important to make that connection between reality and some of the stuff that's not being taught to these students. And this is really interesting stuff. So talk to me about the importance of that. I didn't mean to interrupt you, Lise, but it's a nice segue into what I want to get into.
Are you guys running a
pre-service community now? Are you running a pre-service community?
I'll just introduce that by saying that EdWeb has been used by Karen and I came to talking about this project because EdWeb used by a number of colleges of education, and I've only known anecdotally some of the feedback from the experience of them using EdWeb. But it's all about I know they're all thinking about how can we connect pre-service teachers to each other, to their faculty, to the school districts where they're interning, and then stay connected, you know, on a lifelong basis. And so
I love that.
I thought it would be great. Karen has such experience here. I asked her to reach out to the different colleges who've been using EdWeb as a platform and see what she learned about that experience and also where they are in their vision of trying to connect teachers and what do they still say they need, what are the opportunities. We know there are obstacles. So she's been interviewing folks who've been using EdWeb in the College of Ed and just talking with them more broadly. So she's working on a paper for us.
Yeah.
Wow. Wow.
And, let me tell you a little bit.
I will grade that paper, Karen. I will give you an A.
Well, you know, you have to see it first, but I hope you will give me an A.
Catch 22.
That's right. Yeah. You know, talking about breaking down these borders, one big border has been that boundary between, you know, teacher education and the real world of the classroom.
Sure.
And, you know, for more than a decade, colleges of education have been trying to figure out, you know, how can we make that connection between the pre-service teachers and the in-service teachers? And they haven't had a lot of success because a lot of times it's the students think this is more of a college assignment than really kind of a lifelong habit of professional development. So independent online communities such as those that EdWeb sponsors are really a way for pre-service teachers to connect with in-service teachers, almost like an internship, so to speak. You know, they really can get a glimpse into the classroom and really see, well, you know, is this what I want to do? Do I want to be an English teacher? What does classroom management really mean? You know, I've read about it in a book, but what does it really mean? So these online communities really give that pre-service teacher a chance to look at this world in a way that they're just not able to do in the confines of a classroom, even an online classroom at the College of Education or during that period of time they might be student teaching.
And you know what's interesting? You said something that just struck me a few minutes ago, and I always use the analogy of medical schools, okay? You know, when students get their cadaver, when they work little rounds, et cetera, and work with them, they're not thinking of it as a college course. They're thinking of it as a medical student, as lifelong learning, okay? And it's constant professional development for a doctor. And teachers, and I was one for years, okay, they are professionals. They are trained college professionals, many with masters and doctorates, okay? And the student needs to understand that this is no joke. This is what the business of teaching is about, okay? And you know, I just find it astounding that they think of it as just a college course. And I have to tell you, I think some of that blame for, I hate to blame, some of the responsibility, I should say, falls on the colleges of education. I don't mean to come down on them, but I don't think they're emphasizing it enough. I don't think the point's made early on how important this is. What do you think, Karen?
Well, you know, Larry, it's really interesting that you use the analogy of medical education because I don't know if you're aware that in 1910 there was the Flexner Report. Have you heard
absolutely.
Of that, Abraham?
Absolutely. Right. I know exactly what that is, yes.
And that
was the whole big thing with the National Council of Teacher on Teacher Quality last year, their summer report compared.
Right.
And
the Flexner Report in 1910 really made medicine into a profession. And we've been struggling with how to make teaching into a profession. And these online communities, you know, starting in pre-service days, really show the teacher that he or she is a professional, can determine his or her interests, and find others who share those interests and learn together. And instead of being dictated to, which is traditionally, as you know, as a teacher, been all too often the role of the teacher.
And there is more than there's more than subject knowledge when it comes to education. And you said it a minute ago when you said the words classroom management. And this to get that word out to the students at an early time is so important for them to understand it, because to go through college and pay for that, and then to go into a profession and then not like it, that doesn't make sense. If you find out you're going to throw up every time you see somebody, every time you give somebody a vaccination, okay, really medicine is not the place for you, okay? And it's the same thing here, okay? And we've got to get people involved, but how much responsibility lies with the colleges? Karen?
Well, you know, it's hard to change tradition, as you know. And, you know,
I know.
We're really
I saw Fiddler on the Roof. I know that.
That's
I
right, tradition. We're going through really a transition, you know, a generation that really doesn't know a lot about technology and a pre-service teaching generation that does. And so a lot of the colleges of education haven't quite grasped that online communities are not just another means of a course. And I think that a lot of colleges are really trying to figure this out. And, it's a long process. That's why I think the independent online communities, such as EdWeb and various other things, are so excellent, because they really, I think, give that freedom to the pre-service. And you almost, I think, the colleges of education might follow behind some of the technological leaps of their students, so to speak.
Sick. Which is not—that's not good, right there. They have to be on top of that. At least, what do you hear from colleges and pre-service teachers as they get involved with the EdWeb communities? What do you hear from them?
Well, I mean, that's really one of the things we're asking Karen to kind of find out for us, because we hear first from some of the project leaders at those colleges about their experience or what they college of education and what they need, but Karen is really interviewing and talking with them on a deeper level to understand that. But, you know, one of the things you're talking about that I think really is important is, you know, this kind of idea of what's the right position for you in teaching. And it's so much more than the academics of what you're studying. So we have a community, for example, of teachers dealing with students with autism. And, you know, if you were interested in becoming a special ed teacher, I mean, some of those challenges are so intense right now, but to be able to hear directly from teachers who are doing that, and I must say the teachers who do post, their dedication is unbelievable, but, you know, you'll hear a little bit more directly about what is involved in being a special ed teacher or a principal. You know, what are those issues? A librarian, a teacher. I mean, there are all the different roles in the school, and people might be much more suited to one than another. So it's both understanding the issues, but also helping to chart the right career path for yourself.
Yeah, and Larry, the colleges of education are using online platforms such as EdWeb for a variety of things. For example, I just spoke to a professor out in New Mexico who told me that EdWeb's really been a great platform for her to communicate with her student teachers who are in rural areas.
Mm-hmm.
And you don't think about that.
Mm-hmm.
And other colleges of education have told me that they're using the EdWeb platform to try to help implement programs like NetQ, which is a National Education Teacher Quality Program, and Project Enrich, which is young pre-service teachers in urban areas. So they're really seeing that this platform gives them a lot of flexibility beyond the classroom to connect
Look
with
what
their
you've
students,
done, Lisa.
Connect
Lisa,
with teachers.
Lisa, you're changing the world here, Lisa.
Well, you know, it's interesting because I do know that young people, I think sometimes I have heard that some of them will say, well, why can't we do this, just do this on Facebook? You know, and I think that, you know, Facebook has some advantages in the sense that kind of everybody's on it. It's ubiquitous. It's everywhere. Except that it's often blocked by schools and districts still. There's a lot of concern about unprofessionalism. And, you know, Larry, you know, for a long time, I've just felt that it's really important, particularly for pre-service teachers, to strengthen their professionalism. And that being on a site where that's what it's all about, I think, sets a different tone. And then we also have the ability to, you know, archive and share and participate in these communities that opens up a world to them in a very focused way that a site like Facebook that's for everything, I think, can't really do.
That's right. And the phrase out there right now, which is so important, as you both know, is media literacy. Okay,
mm-hmm.
And when you
mm-hmm.
and it's the internet, I mean, it's just everything, and just look at it politically, okay?
Mm-hmm.
And you don't know what's true and what isn't. I don't care if you're a conservative or a liberal or whatever, okay? All this bull duty flows right through there, and
mm-hmm.
just that. And I don't mean to come down on Facebook, because if I had his money, I'd be long retired, okay? And it serves a purpose
right.
and all that sort of thing.
Yes,
okay.
Definitely.
But there's a big difference
yeah.
between doing something professionally and focused and managed, okay, as opposed to the generic usage, which is great, of Facebook.
That gets into another thing too, which is, I think there's a lot of discussion about curating content. So in some sense, what we're kind of doing with EdWeb is curating content
exactly.
and communities
exactly.
a bit. And we've got 30 or more that we, you know, really work with, either ourselves, we're sponsoring them, or we're doing it with a partner or an education company, so that we're trying to assure that a certain level of conversation and presentations will go on there.
Exactly. And, you know, what you're doing, it allows mentorship, and I have to say this.
When I student taught,
and this was 2,000 years ago, we all dressed in gowns and wore sandals to outdoor schools and atriums, okay? But that was a joke, because
mm-hmm,
I'm not really
mm-hmm.
an ancient Greek person. Okay, but at any rate, okay, the teachers who were my teachers, were for whom my student taught, they were nice guys, okay? But they weren't trained
mm-hmm.
to do this. They just volunteered
mm-hmm.
to do it, okay? And they were no
mm-hmm.
more well-trained on it than anybody would have or could have been, okay? And now, okay, you get the advantage of tapping into people who many of them actually know what they're doing.
Mm-hmm.
It's just so important. You know, it's just so important, I got to tell you. What are the best
But, you know, actually,
oh, God,
what's
I'm sorry.
Really important is these pre-service students are getting the opportunity to kind of form lifelong habits by being introduced to online communities. And indeed, the
Great
colleges
point.
Of education want that, as well as the school districts. So it's really serving a fantastic purpose, I think.
Yeah, it's sort
it
of
is.
Like street smarts versus book smarts, you
it
know,
is.
And the teachers who are in the classroom, I mean, they know what it's really like.
Exactly.
And they have to develop street smarts. In knowing how to engage students and motivate them and differentiate instruction to, you know, meet them all at their different levels. So you can't always learn that. You can't learn all that from a book.
Well, and what you learn from a book, it's hard to figure out for a lot of students how to apply that. And they're kind of
yeah.
getting a window into that application. Because
yeah.
the theory is very important. I mean, we have wonderful content in neuroscience and understanding how people learn, but the application of it is really the trick.
Mm-hmm.
I agree with you. I was just talking to somebody yesterday. We did a show, and I was saying we should have a college course for teachers called All the Free Stuff That's Out There That Helps You Become a Teacher. And EdWeb's one of them.
Yeah. because, you know, teachers say that, you know, they need stuff like right now. Teachers don't have time to prepare, you know, 6 weeks in advance. I mean, they want a resource or a source of information and collegiality right away because they have real issues they're facing daily.
Well, yeah, the immediacy is really important. So, Larry, you know, we're bringing on educators to talk about what they're doing today, tomorrow. And, you know, if you're trying to, you know, create a course or a program, I'm sure there's, I don't even know exactly what that is, but I'm sure there's an effort of saying, oh, okay, this is something we should probably offer. You know, what's the curriculum going to be? Who's going to teach it? You know, so that process takes time. So one of the things I think that we offer is that we can show immediate, you know, what's happening right here and now.
It's very important. So we now, how were you admitted to the University of Lisa?
You
it's
just
a long
go to edweb.net and join. That is it.
Yeah. I mean, this sounds ridiculous. I mean, this sounds so silly, but it's true. Okay, because I've been a teacher, okay? What you learn from EdWeb is going to be just, I hate to say this because it sounds so stupid, but it's going to be almost as much important over the long run as what you learn in your college of education. I got to tell you. I believe it.
Well,
isn't that nice
Larry,
thing to
the
say?
Other thing that's happening that's so incredible is we have so many members who come regularly to our webinars, and it facilitates this live meetup of a group of educators who are really so passionate and committed about what they're doing. And they welcome people who've never been to one of our events before. And it's not just learning from the presenters. Everybody, you know, Angela Myers, and I think you've interviewed her as well, Larry. She's amazing.
Angela.
I love what she says. She said, the smartest person in the room is the room. And so we're just trying to make those rooms possible. And to have in that room an expert, people who've been experienced working at it, new people who are coming in, new teachers who don't, and that through that collaboration, everybody becomes smarter.
And the colleges of education really are going in that direction of more applied learning right from the get-go. I mean, there are lots of reforms underway. I mean, just like the area of law, as you see, you know, a lot of the debates about how do you get application in that in law school. So I think that these online communities where people can meet what they call their communities of, quote, affinity are very important because they're going to make these connections that are going to give them the support and collaboration that they need because one of the greatest problems of the new teacher is that isolation in the classroom. And to have a community you're involved in before you go in the classroom is crucial.
Hey, Karen, you're working with colleges, and just in a generic, from your founder and CEO of Knowledge Without Borders, knowledgewithoutborders.org, excuse me. And
it's knowwithoutborders.org.
Knowwithoutborders.org, KNOW, and there's two W's following, okay?
knowwithoutborders.org.
Easy to forget that. Where do you think, on a scale of 1 to 10, talk to me about where you think the colleges for teacher preparation are in getting right into line with what's happening in today's classroom so teachers are ready to go out there?
Oh, that's a tough one to answer, but I really think they're about at a 6. I mean, they're really moving along and really trying to figure this out, but a lot of this is, you know, you have a generational shift going on. And I think that as more of the younger faculty take their positions, you're going to see a lot more application because that's just been so embedded into education at K-12 now, and it's really implementing it. That's going to be the challenge. But I think the younger generation intuitively understands that.
And let me switch the conversation for 1 second, Lisa Schmucki. What are you finding that the veteran teachers – learn from the pre-service teachers? If anything.
Can I chime in?
Yeah, go ahead.
Sure.
Yeah, please.
They're really enjoying the kind of technological intuitions of the younger pre-service teachers because to a lot of the veterans, this is kind of a brave new world. They haven't really gone beyond the internet of something just that is a broadcast vehicle as opposed to an interactive vehicle. And so the pre-service students are really helping them see that.
Yeah, there you go. There you go. Mm-hmm. And by the way, Lisa, I asked you a question you weren't prepared for. So I want to ask you an easy one. Spell chrysanthemum.
we're turning this into a spelling bee, Larry.
There you go. Now, I'm just kidding you, Lisa. You know that.
Yeah,
okay.
I know.
No, I would think that the older teachers, the veteran teachers, whatever you want to say, are learning how the younger ones use digital media and all that sort of thing. And I think the combination of that, and it's a real golden opportunity, okay,
well,
to get the two
groups
together.
Well, I think there's something where teachers love, they're such
love
giving,
teaching.
You know, folks. You
they
know,
love
I
teaching.
Mean, they do. They love teaching. And so I think, and it's not always clear when somebody comes into one of our events if they're a pre-service teacher, but if they're, let's just say they're new, you know, and they say, well, I've never been here before, or you have a sense of that. The community is so supportive in, you know, helping, welcoming them. And so I think that teachers want to be able to mentor other teachers. They want to be able to share what they've learned and known. And it's a gift to the new teachers.
It really
and
is.
And it really and is what to, this mentoring, that's what a profession's about, isn't it?
Yeah.
Right? It is.
Exactly.
Uh-huh. It is, without question. It is. I mean, it's I'm telling you, it's the new University of Lisa.
Well, it's the University of Connected Learning, I think. And it's powerful.
That.
It's really powerful. Yeah.
Yeah,
it's
Larry,
incredible, but
you
caught
it, Lisa.
You caught the wave. You caught the wave. Good. Karen?
Yeah, can I give you just one example of something
Absolutely.
That really impressed me? I mean, I've been working in STEM education for a while, and for years we've been trying to figure out, you know, how do we get these scientists to meet with the teachers so that the experts can share their knowledge with the teachers and the students? And a couple weeks ago, EdWeb sponsored a webinar where some scientists from the National Science Foundation who were studying penguins in Antarctica actually connected with teachers and talked to them about science, about penguins, about all sorts of things. And I was really taken, aback by this. This was so cool because this was something we've been talking about and working about at the policy level for years, and there it just happened. It really underlined the importance of this connectivity and in the online platform.
Karen, I'm so glad you mentioned that because, Larry, it is something that we didn't quite realize what we were doing when we did this, and it opened up that EdWeb, you know, we're a professional social network, but what we ended up doing there was the teachers brought their students to a presentation with these scientists in Antarctica.
That's great.
And the attendance was unbelievable. We had 1,500 teachers with their classrooms all around the country.
Oh, that's wonderful, Lisa.
And I happened to be in New York because I was at the annual fundraiser for the Congressional Medal of Honor Foundation. And last night there were 29 living recipients of the Congressional Medal of Honor who were at this event. I have to tell you, it was a life-changing experience to see them all together in one room. But this is another program we're doing, and the Time for Kids program made me realize that we have an opportunity here to have the teachers bring their students to actually meet the recipients of the Medal of Honor. They have a character development program to help them learn about commitment and sacrifice and bravery and persistence and all of these things that's so important for young people to learn.
Well, I'll say. That must have been a life-changing experience, I got to tell you.
Oh, it's really humbling. Yeah.
I would imagine it is fairly humbling. You know.
Yeah.
Hey, Karen, before I forget, you're a Columbia girl. You graduated, 2009, right?
Yeah, well, sure. Yeah.
Okay.
I'll take it.
And my oldest friend in the universe is Stuart Feierstein. Last year, he was chair of the biology department. He's a neuroscientist at Columbia. This year, he's at Cambridge University, I guess in the floods. His ankles must be wet. He's a visiting scholar or some such thing there. But Stu Feierstein, and if you want to get in touch with him at Columbia, and he's, again, a neuroscientist, he's the world's leading expert of all things in the sense of smell. So if you want a connection there, I'm happy to provide that.
Oh, that's great. I've read his books. I love him. Yeah.
Yeah, well, he is my oldest friend, and I've had him on the show, and And we were
Connections are incredible.
Yeah, and we were trying. We grew up on the same street. He was 7620 Brentwood Road, and I was 7632 in Philadelphia. And we tried not to call each other by our nicknames, which we've been calling each other for 60 years. So it was a rather difficult show to do. But he's just a great guy and a very, very close friend of mine. So if I can help with that, just tap in.
Oh, that's
before
really
we go,
terrific. Thanks.
Yeah, before we go, okay, just use my name. He will eventually get back to you, by the way, if you want to get back to him on your own, that's fine. Okay, and call me Jake. Jake told me to do this. Okay, and... Lisa, I just want to go into this as you become a world. You're like Time Warner and Comcast merging is nothing compared to what's going on with EdWeb.net. Talk to me about EdWeb TV. Talk to me about EdWeb TV, and then we got to go because I'm starting to lose my breath with this darn flu.
No, and I know you haven't been feeling well this week. So EdWeb TV is coming soon, and what we realized is that we now have an archive of almost 400 programs, or over 400, almost 500 webinar programs that are unbelievable presentations on, you know, all kinds of the leading topics in education right now. And we're putting them into a video hosting and streaming platform that's EdWeb TV so that teachers can more easily search and watch those. We're going to be working on aligning them to different standards.
Fantastic.
And they can easily get their CE certificate by taking a quiz after watching it. And we just know from the demand from educators that we need to provide them with another way to just directly. We want them to join communities, too, and every program will be linked to a community so they can
Wonderful.
Go and do that and connect
Great.
With peers. But it'll just be a new service that I think will really help people mine the content that we have.
And when's it going to launch?
I think I was hoping this month, but I think it's going to be March. I might launch
like
it in time for COVID.
Like Obamacare.
We're going to be
it'll
cousin,
be March.
So.
Yeah, it'll be March.
Yeah.
Don't even worry about it. Yeah. By the way, I like Obamacare. I'm not anti-Obamacare. I was making an Obamacare joke. Now I got to back out of it because it strikes everybody politically. Okay. At any rate, so this is really great stuff, Lisa. And, you know, we're going to have a show doing it. We're going to connect with, what is it, Big World Media? I don't know. Is that what you call
it? Big Deal Media.
Let me know who they are.
Yeah.
Karen, if you need Stu Feierstein, you let me know. I'll get that together.
I sure will.
Have a great, safe trip to Peru.
Thank you.
Okay?
Absolutely.
And enjoy your lima beans.
Lima beans. And I hope
this
you
is
feel
what happens
better.
When I'm sick and I keep talking. So thank you, ladies. You were wonderful.
Thank you, Larry.
One thing. Wait a minute, Lisa, one thing. Is there anything happening? Is there a webinar coming up with, I'm just going to pull a random company, PBS Learning Media?
Absolutely, yes.
I pulled one right out of the hat. Right.
You sure did. And she's going to be on with Kari Arfstrom of Flip Learning Network. And
My other wife.
Ah, okay.
Yeah.
And they're coming on soon, but if you join edweb.net and go to our Google Calendar, it's easy to see any of our upcoming events and register and sign up for them. So I encourage everybody to do that.
And that was a blatant act of nepotism on my part.
Yes, but that's fine. Their program has been fantastic. It's all on middle school literacy.
Yeah,
and this is a third of a three-part program.
It's great stuff. And Kari will do a great job with Carolyn. It'll be
mm-hmm.
fun. And ladies, again, thanks a million. Fly safe today. Everybody have a good weekend, and hopefully the snow has passed.
All right, you take
Absolutely.
Care.
Take care, everybody.
Thank
you, Larry. Thank you, Karen.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. Lisa Schmucke at web.net and Karen Kolias, who, I'll just give this again, it's knowwithoutborders.org, K-N-O-W. Hold on. Sorry about that. Could get to the mic to cut it in time. No, K-N-O-W, without borders. So watch those two W's in the middle, .org. Okay, we're going to archive the show at education-talkradio.org and tweet it out at edutalkradio. Sorry for my flu. Hopefully Monday it'll get better. Everybody have a great weekend, and thanks so much for listening to Education Talk Radio today. My name's Larry Jacobs.